Well, we are in the next to last week of spiritual gifts, and just want to give you a heads up. If you are a head of a ministry or a core team, anything like that, and you have opportunities that need to be done right now or in the coming year, please email them to me or to the church so that we can make a list for next week's service about opportunities to use those spiritual gifts that maybe you are discovering or just reaffirming in your life. So next week, one last sermon on spiritual gifts, and then we'll return to the book of Romans the first week into August, beginning with chapter 5. Well, recently our oldest grandson had his 7th birthday, and he had a party in Derby at a little Italian restaurant called Italiano's. Now, Italiano's, we can't figure out why he likes to go there because there's, you know, it's not like Chuck E. Cheese where there's all kinds of things going on. It's just a big place and they have a pizza buffet, but that's not a big deal to him because he'll only eat one piece of pizza, but he loves to go there. It's like 2 or 3 years in a row we've had his birthday there. Well, he begins to open his presents, and our 5-year-old grandson is right next to him, just like looking over his shoulder, even trying to reach in and grab some of the paper and help him. And he's constantly going, "What'd you get? What'd you get?" Now, if you don't understand what'd you get, let me give you a little slang vocabulary lesson here. And the first word is, "Did you hear?" Right? "Did you hear? Did you hear what happened down at the grocery store?" The next one is anarchist, and I think you guys are thinking a whole lot different than what I'm thinking, because anarchist is, "And I kissed my girlfriend, and I kissed my aunt." Well, what'd you get is, what did you get when you did your spiritual gifts? I know some of you cheated and got online and looked up your answers, but there are keys out there on the info counter now that you can look up your spiritual gifts and see what wonderful gifts God has given you to help for the common good. So what did you get? Remember our key verses, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. "Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others, so use your gift well." Somebody asked me this morning that, "Well, I didn't have any gifts." And I said, "Well, then you better check your relationship with Jesus, because he gave all of us, when we become his child, a wonderful gift." So if you took the spiritual gifts inventory home last week and went about it, if not, there are some more out there. So please take some time to look and see. And then today you can pick up a copy of the key. Now, it's been a lot of fun. I know people have been calling me and asking me about the spiritual gifts inventory, but there's more than just the knowledge of spiritual gifts. We can do this paper test that we've done and look, but there are some other things that we need to look at as we get going, because knowledge in and of itself, again, is not always the answer. So how has God gifted you so that we can move from pew potato to an active servant of God working for the good of the kingdom? So how has God gifted you? What special gifts has he given you, and how can you tell? Well, again, the inventory is great, but I want to take you on a little bit of a different journey this morning to use along with that. And it's kind of a practical experience idea to go along with that knowledge that you've given. So please, if you have your guide, your notes with you, please take notes this morning and follow along, because again, your gift is not just for you. Your gift is for the person sitting next to you, the person sitting behind you, the person sitting 5 rows in front of you. Your gift is for somebody who is not even a part of our church yet, who will be someday, hopefully. Your gift is not for just those sitting in here. Your gift is for those who have yet to hear the message of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so our gifts need to be used, and used well. So this morning I want to give 4 questions to help you as we go on this journey. And the first question is, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What is your passion? What is your great desire in life? Here's what I think. I think when we're walking closely with the Lord, you'll want to do what he has gifted you to do. When you're walking hand in hand with him day by day, you're going to want to do what he has gifted you to do. And when you do that with what you like to do, as long as it is not driven by pride or selfish motives, God's going to put in you a desire to serve. But we have to be a little bit careful with selfish desires, because we want to make sure that whatever we're doing with our gifts, we are pointing people to Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, at Psalm 37, verse 4. It should be up on the screen there for you. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, that's a great verse, because it says we are to delight in the Lord. He will give us the desires of his heart. Now, people can interpret this in two different ways. One is, there will be some people who see God as a magic genie, and all I got to do is ask, delight in him, say, I love you, Jesus, and he'll give me whatever I want. The other part of this is, I think, a little bit more key. When we believe that our desires come from the Lord, when we're walking hand in hand with him, when we have that good of a relationship with him, then our desire should be to do his desire, his will. The things that God desires should become our desires. And so as we read that verse, delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And if you're walking hand in hand, your desires should be his desires, what he desires. When Sherry and I are clicking, man, we are, you know, those of you who've been married, you know you have seasons where things maybe aren't meshing just quite perfectly. You're kind of at odds or kind of a kilter. But when we are clicking, man, we are close and we're communicating. It's one of those things where, you know, you can complete each other's sentences. You know each other's thoughts. So we'll be driving or someplace and I'll go, boy, you know what I want? And she'll go, you want some medicine? And I'm like, yeah, let's go get some ice cream. Or, hey, you know what I want to do? I'll give you a perfect example. We were talking about down the road retirement someday, and I always tease her that one day we're going to buy like 40 acres in the country, and we're just going to buy a fifth wheel, and we'll just move that thing all around the property. You know, we won't have to live in the same place all the time. That doesn't go very well. But she surprised me there. And she said, when we retire, you know what I want to get? I want to get a small fifth wheel. And I'm like, yeah, she's buying it. But I want to just use it for 6 months and drive around and go see everything I want to go see in the States, and then we'll come home and get a house. And I'm like, oh, man. But when we're clicking, our desires seem to be very close to one another. And I believe that God has created us in us a desire, especially when we become his child, to follow his way. If you ever say the Lord's Prayer, what do you say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We don't pray that thy kingdom come, but my will be done. We pray that his will would be done. And so the desire of our hearts should be, if we love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength, should be his desires. And that's what we are trying to do. He's given us a spiritual gift, and when we use those spiritual gifts, we should be motivated to use them in a way that would be pleasing to him. If you're walking hand in hand with him, that desire, you should want to use it every day. If it is the gift of teaching, you should want to teach. If it is the gift of mercy, you should want to just shower people with mercy all the time. That should be the desire of your heart. Take some time as you look over your inventory and you go through your key. What are the things that get your motor running? What are the things that just get you excited to get up in the morning and go, wow? And those are the things that God has probably gifted you to do. Now, when we began this journey, I told you that I wanted you to ask other people what they thought your spiritual gift was. And again, that's the second question today. How do other people see you? How do other people see you? Remember, pride and selfish motives can take our special gifts and turn them into something that's not pleasing to God. And so we want to make sure that we're not sinful people and our desires are that. They are the desires of God. And we want to serve in that way. So I want to take you on just a little bit of a journey here. Let's go back, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 6. In the early church, some great things happened. In Acts chapter 2, we see that 3,000 believers were added to the church in one day, the day of Pentecost in verse 41. A short time later in chapter 4, verse 4, we see that 5,000 people were added. 5,000 men were added to the church in that day. So if we believe that there were some whole families that were saved along with the men, then we may be looking at 10,000 people coming together and becoming followers of Jesus Christ. Now, you want to talk about church growth. Woo! What would we do with that many people? But if we go to Acts chapter 6, verse 1, we find this story. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So we have a problem here in the church. It grew so fast that some of the ministries weren't being taken care of faithfully, whatever it might be. And so they have to do something that's going on. The ministry to widows isn't going well. So how do the leaders of the church handle it? Verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to the prayer and ministry of the word." So right away, they understand that they were gifted for one thing, and they need people who are gifted for something else. It's not right for us to neglect the use of our gift for the common good, so let's find some people who are gifted at serving and taking care of these widows. Because spiritual numerical growth is important in the church, but it's not going to happen without spiritual growth. So they don't want to neglect the preaching and teaching of God's word. Let's find some other people to handle it. So what do they say? "We want you to go out into the crowd and we want you to find 7 men. 7 men who are full of the Spirit. 7 men who have a good reputation. 7 men who are probably gifted in this area." And here's what the church does. Chapter 6, verse 5. "This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism." So the people picked amongst themselves men who they recognized by their service and their faith as people who were capable of taking care of this ministry. And that's one of the things we want to make sure that we're doing here, is that among you, as you serve in other positions, people begin to recognize what your spiritual gifts and your aptitudes are. And it's from within the group then that we begin to fill ministry spots. Look at verse 7 there in chapter 6. "So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." Notice what happens. When the deacons deek, and the teachers teach, and the servants serve, what happens to the church? It grows. It grows. And then even the priests became more faithful because everybody now is using their gifts well and the way they were supposed to be used. Because people recognized in the others among them the talents and gifts that God had given them. It's an amazing thing when people come together and begin to serve. The word of God increased. The church began to grow. But isn't this passage what church should be about? That we serve one another. We use our gifts, and then the kingdom grows. The kingdom of God increases. And that's what we were put here as part of the church family to do. People come to know the Lord. The church people will recognize your giftedness as you jump in and serve. Now, understand this, and I think I shared a little bit about this next week. It's not always pleasant when you first start serving. You may get some ordinary tasks, setting up tables, setting up chairs. But if you will do those to the best of your ability, if you are the best chair setter-upper there is and the best table setter-upper there is, by the way, we need some help, ask the deacons on next week to set up for Sunday for the breakfast. But people will notice when you are faithful with the little tasks. As we said last week, God will give you bigger bigger ministries as they come. Again, ask somebody who knows you well what they think your spiritual gift is. And the reminder is, if somebody asks you, be honest with what you think their spiritual gift is. Don't mislead them. Don't try to tell them what you think they want to hear, because then they would just be misusing the gifts that they have. So be honest in what you do. The third question to ask as you go through your inventory and look at your key is, what has God said? What has God said to you? Sometimes God speaks through other people, and that's why I have you ask. I have to tell you an experience that happened to Sherry and I, and God using other people. When we first started going to El Dorado, I don't know how many years ago that was now, but working with college kids, they asked us if we would go to the high school and college camp as counselors. El Dorado, much like our church, does their own camps. Some of the people in the church owned part of Camp Galilee out at Table Rock. And so we had been praying about going as counselors. And so we, on Saturday night, we said, you know what? I think God is really leading us to go. We didn't even tell our daughters. We walk into the church, and the first person we walk into is Keith Martin. And Keith Martin goes, hey, thanks a lot. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you guys are going to campus counselors. And we're like, whoa. Kind of creepy. But God spoke through somebody else and affirmed for us the decision that we made. That happened again on the first time that we were going to the mission trip in 1999. We'd been praying about it and deciding, oh man, I don't know, we'll go. We'll go. And we walk in, and who's the first person we run into? Darn old Keith Martin again. And he says, hey, we're so glad you're going on the mission trip with us. And we're like, whoa. We're out of there. But God will use other people if you're alert and willing to listen to what they will say to you. It's very clear in the Bible that this happens. Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, talks to Timothy about future ministries. He's not talking about now. He says, Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. Paul says, look, somebody has said that you were going to go into ministry, and so I'm writing to you about this. Paul recognized that in Timothy, and he says, hey, this is what you're going to do. God will speak to you through other people if you are willing to listen to what he has to say. Fourth question is, how do I use my gift? As much as we have to understand what our gift is, it is important to understand how to use it properly. Our gifts come from God. They are not something that we can manufacture. I know we always want to be able to sing like Judy or play like Ron or whatever it might be, but that's not always going to happen. Maybe we want to teach a certain age group. Whatever it might be, we cannot manufacture them. Our gifts were given to us to draw attention to God and to Jesus. And so to use them well, they must always do that. Glorify God, point people to Jesus, and not us. It's not about I. It's always about God. And so we need to make sure that we use our gifts in that fashion. If you have your Bibles open, turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Jesus is talking about false prophets. He's talking about people bearing fruit in their lives, bearing good fruit. And in verse 21, the people come to him. He says to them, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Remember, if you love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, soul, and strength, your desire is going to be to fulfill his desire. Only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Wow. How would you like that to be said about you when that day comes? We need to make sure that if we are driving out demons, if we are prophesying, We're doing it to point other people towards Christ and not to get something for ourselves. Just because something seems to be spiritual doesn't mean that it's of God. The Bible is very clear on that, and so we want to make sure that we don't fall into that trap. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, if you would. 1 John chapter 4. And we're given clear instruction here on how we can discern if something is truly of the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. I got to be honest with you, when we went to pastor at Manhattan First Baptist Church, we had some real hesitation about going there because of their reputation as being a very liberal church. We found a man there who had been in leadership for probably 30 years, who was a retired professor, who did not believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. And yet they had let him serve in ministry for so long because it seemed spiritual. But the Bible is very clear. If they do not recognize Jesus Christ as Son of God, God in the flesh, then it is the spirit of the Antichrist. Make sure that just because something seems to be spiritual, that it is not a false spirit. Beware. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and that very reason, he says, go back and read that letter. Everybody's got all these great spiritual gifts, but nobody's using them for the right reason. They were not acknowledging Jesus Christ. They were focusing on themselves. I can do this. I can do that. He can do this. He can do that. No, it is to point other people to God. That's how you have a healthy, stable church. People using their gifts for the good of all who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in the flesh walking among us. That's how we have a healthy, stable church. Our gifts should be to glorify and honor God and not self. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Then we add to our numbers daily. Then the church begins to grow. Then we have more need for teachers to help grow spiritually these new people who are coming into the church. God is going to put people in the kingdom out here in our community in the church that he sees is best going to fit them, where they're going to be discipled, where people are using their gifts. He'll put them in the right place. And if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you will put him in his rightful place. That is number one in your life. Above everything else, above your wife, above your children, above your hobbies, above your job. Because I'll tell you what, it may seem like you're pushing your wife to the background, but if God is number one in your life, guess what that's going to do for your relationship with your wife? If God is number one in your life, what's that going to do with your relationship with your children? If God is the most important thing in your life, your friends, your work, everything will fall into place if God is number one. You're not pushing them off to the side and neglecting them. You're actually doing them a favor when you make God the most important thing in your life. If you are walking closely with God, you will always put him first in your life. Now, as we wrap up this morning, it's sad to say, but you know, many Christians don't have any personal ministry. And the sad thing is they're happy with that. They're content not to have any personal ministry. That means there's no pressure on them. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to commit to anything. They believe that ministry is only for a few spiritually elite people. But remember, God has given each of us a gift. So if ministry is only for the chosen few, then why would he waste those gifts? It's because he expects us to use them. And he expects them to use them for other people, not for ourselves. This week, as you go about your business, again, it's not enough just to do the paperwork. Go back and ask yourself those questions. Man, what do I have a passion and desire to do? What have other people said about me? What has God said about me? What has God said my gifts are? And then how do I use this wonderful gift that I've been given? You know, those of us men, you know, maybe we do things like buy our wives vacuum cleaners on Valentine's Day. It's a wonderful gift. We hope they use it. Or maybe we buy them a bread machine and hope they'll use that. But those are selfish desires. Those are not for the good. Those are for us. Make sure that the wonderful gift that you have is not used to please yourself. But use your wonderful gifts to please God, to reach other people, so that the kingdom of God will grow not only numerically, but spiritually each and every day. And I'm telling you, as fast as our country is moving in the wrong direction, we need more healthy and stable churches around the world. And that begins by using our gifts. Again, I believe that even if we use our gifts and we do outreach in our community, we may share the gospel with somebody. They may go to the Lutheran Church. Good. Let them go. They may go to the Southern Baptist Church. Good. If that's where God wants them to be, fine. God will take care of us. When we first started, one last story and we'll wrap this up. When we first started ministry, away from First Baptist Church, after we were on staff there for a while, we went to a Hispanic church in Wichita. And when we got there, they were down to about 12 or 15 people, and they were playing recorded CDs. They didn't have a piano player. Or so we were singing Acapulco, a cappella. And we said, hey, let's do a tent revival. I'm like, all right, we'll do a tent revival, but we need to have some musicians. Well, Jesse Chavez down at the Assembly of God Church has a really good praise band. All right, go ask Jesse if he'll come and play at our tent revival. And the first question I got was, well, what if the people would go to his church instead then? And I told him, I said, look, if we're faithful, God will give us what we need. Well, about 3 or 4 months later, a man who had grown up in that church had started coming back to church. They had heard that there was this new gringo pastor at the church, and he wanted to come check it out. And he started coming for about 3 months, and then he said, you know what, my wife is a piano player, but she's also agoraphobic. She hasn't been out of the house in a year. So we began to pray. And we started to grow because we were faithful. People were using their gifts. We were doing outreach. And one day she walked into church, and she was playing the piano. See, if we're faithful and using our gifts to glorify God, not worrying about what the outcome is going to be, if they're going to go to another church or whatever it might be, if we have kingdom in mind for the common good, not just for the common good of First Baptist Church, but the common good of Augusta, Butler County, Kansas, and beyond, just like Acts chapter 1, verse 8, God will be faithful. He'll give us every financial resource we need. He will give us every personal resource we need. He will give us every able body that we need, every spiritual gift we need, if we're faithful to give him all the glory and honor and use our gifts for the common good. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that you loved us so much, that you gave each and every one of us a wonderful gift. Help us not to cherish and hold on to that gift and to be misers with it, but to give that gift away, that it might be doubled and tripled. Lord, that others would come to know this great love that you have, and that they would be welcomed into your family so that you might give them a wonderful gift. And then the gifts would multiply. And maybe in one day, not just at First Baptist Church, but throughout the churches, 3,000 would be added to the kingdom church, and 5,000 would be added to the kingdom church. And Lord, maybe we would then begin to see this, the next great revival in our country, because I believe that we have one more in us at least, Father. But it can't be just prayed for. There has to be some action to go with. There has to be the use of our wonderful spiritual gifts. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and I pray this morning that if there is somebody here that has never made your Son, Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, that they've struggled with using their gifts, their talents, because they don't understand them, but yet, Lord, if they would just be willing to accept Jesus Christ into their heart, let him guide him and lead him, let him give them the desires of his heart, that would help them to use their gifts and direct others towards you, your Son, Jesus Christ. We also know, Lord, that it would take care of their eternity, as Paul talked about earlier, down the road, where they will spend the rest of their life. Father, we love you. We thank you again. We ask that you would continue to guide us and lead us in all that we say and do, that ultimately it is not First Baptist Church, it is not Pastor Rick, it is not the deacons or the core teams that get any of the glory, but it is you who gets it all. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.